This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What is the ruling for Udhiyya? What is the ruling for Qurbani? Udhiyya.
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Udhiyya, of course, is the sacrifice that is done in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the days of sacrifice. And it begins from the fajr of the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, or technically from praying Eid Salah, because Udhiyya is done after Eid Salah. So from the Eid Salah of the 10th of Dhul Hijjah all the way up until before Maghrib of the 13th of Dhul Hijjah, according to one opinion, and according to the other opinion, up until Maghrib of the 12th of Dhul Hijjah. There's a bit of a controversy. What are the days that you can sacrifice in? And one opinion is up until the 13th day, and the one that probably most of you are aware of is up until the 12th day of Maghrib, right before Maghrib. And sacrificing is one of the greatest actions of worship during these days, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرُ. And Ibn Abbas said, this ayah is about Udhiyya on the days of Hajj. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرُ. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed every year. And one year the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this sacrifice for? He said, Sunnata abikum Ibrahim. This is the sunnah of our father Ibrahim. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, what is the blessing of the sacrifice? He said, for every hair on the animal, you shall get a good deed. For every hair on the animal, you shall get a good deed. And Abdullah ibn Umar said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent 10 years in Medina. Every year he made an udhiyya. Every year, without exception, he made an udhiyya. By the way, it is called udhiyya from duha, salat al-duha, because typically the udhiyya is done in the early morning. And that's why udhiyya means in the early morning, salat al-duha. And duha is early morning. وَشَمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. So udhiyya typically is done early morning, but it is not a condition. By unanimous consensus, you can do udhiyya at midnight. You're not going to be very smart by doing that, but still, no problem. You want to do it at midnight, go for it. It can be done, but typically, when is udhiyya done? Early morning. That's why it is called udhiyya. And you may use any large domesticated animal. These are called behemas in the Arabic language. Cows, camels, sheep, goats, lambs. And each one has particular characteristics. There is no need for this open Q&A to go into advanced animals. If somebody's in Peru, let them ask, can we do a llama or not? Otherwise, for our purposes, if you have a llama, then let's take a look at it rather than eat its meat. No problem, inshallah. But these are the standard animals that our scholars have mentioned. Now, the big controversy over udhiyya, everybody agrees it's good to do. The big controversy in a nutshell, is it wajib or is it sunnah? And the Hanafi madhab, as all of us from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh know, says that udhiyya is wajib. And that is why in our countries, mashallah, tabarakallah, the streets flow with blood during this season. Most of our brothers from that land are not aware that in Arab lands it's not as blood flowing. Because in the Shafi'i madhab and the Hanbali madhab and the Mu'tamad of the Maliki madhab, the udhiyya is not obligatory. So the three madhab say udhiyya is strong sunnah. And the Hanafi say udhiyya is what? Wajib, but for whom? For the one who can financially afford. By unanimous consensus, the one who is poor does not have to do udhiyya. If you cannot afford it, it's forgiven. But the Hanafi say for the one who can afford it, then they must do it. And I'm not going to go into the evidences on both sides because a very big detail, and inshallah whatever you follow is fine. But I just want to mention one hadith in Tirmidhi. Actually, it's a statement from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. A man came to Ibn Umar and he said, Oh Ibn Umar, is udhiyya wajib or not? Oh Ibn Umar, is udhiyya wajib or not? Ibn Umar said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed the udhiyya, and so did the Muslims. The man said, don't you understand my question? I'm asking you, is it wajib? I'm not asking what he did. So Ibn Umar said, and don't you understand my answer? The Prophet ﷺ did, and the Muslims did. At-Tirmidhi commented on this, and he said, and this hadith is the action of the Ahlul Ilm. That the udhiyya is not wajib, But it is a sunnah from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and people should do it. So Ibn Umar didn't want to get technical. The man saying, is it wajib? Is it wajib? Is it wajib? Ibn Umar said, look, the Prophet did it, the Prophet did it, the Prophet did it. And from this, Imam al-Tirmidhi and the majority of ulama, as I said, the three madhabs and more than them, in fact, most of the sahaba, it is authentically narrated in al-Bayhaqi, Sunan and others, it is authentically narrated that Abu Bakr and Umar and Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas and a number of sahaba occasionally did not do the udhiyah to demonstrate to the people that it is not obligatory. But it is sunnah, and it is strong sunnah, and it is strongly encouraged. And for the Hanafi madhab to be a little bit more advanced, most of the madhahib divide things into five categories, and that is fard or wajib, and then sunnah, and then mubah, and then makruh, and then haram. But the Hanafis have seven categories, and they make a distinction between fard and wajib, and they put the udhiyah in the wajib, not the fard. So they don't put udhiyah in the highest category, they make it one level below. And the other madhabs, they say udhiyah is strong sunnah. So the difference between the Hanafis and the other madhabs, very close to each other because of the technical issues. The bottom line, if you can afford it, do it, bismillah, no problem, okay? As well, in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged people to eat some, to give some, and to give charity with some. So from this sum, the majority of scholars therefore said it is mustahab to divide into three categories. It's not wajib, it is mustahab to divide into three categories. Give to the fuqara a good amount, give to your family and friends a good amount, and mashallah, have a feast and invite me as well and have a good amount as well. No problem, inshallah. As well, hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, reported in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we performed Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we sacrificed a camel on behalf of seven people and a cow on behalf of seven people. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. Therefore, from this we derive that the udhiyah of a camel suffices seven and not one. As well, hadith of Aisha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the udhiyah, she said, for himself and for his family, which means for every family there is one udhiyah. You do not have to have five sheep. If you have, mashallah, three children and you and your wife, you don't have to have five sheep. One sheep or one goat or one lamb for all, or one family, one seventh of a, which animal? Cow or camel. But we're in Texas, so we have to add buffalo. In Texas, buffalo, maybe longhorn, the steer. The best. That's also one seventh. So if all seven families come together, doesn't matter if you have zero kids, one kid, 10 kids, each family should try to do one udhiyah, whether it's wajib or mustahab. I already explained between the madhahib. The final point of udhiyah is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, once the 10 ashara began, ashara dhul hijjah, whoever wants to perform the udhiyah, let him not trim the nails or the hair. Now, this is not to the level of tahreem. That's for the hujjaj. It is to the level of makruh. Makruh, try to not do it. It's if you do, there is no sin and there is no kafara. You don't have to give and feed 10 people or go and free a slave or something, nothing like that. If you do, you are not like the hujjaj. The hujjaj have a penalty if they shave or trim or whatnot. But the mudahi, the one who's giving the udhiyah, there is no penalty, but it is not sunnah. It is makruh. You should avoid it. As well, the one who is required, not required, the one who is encouraged to do this is the one who's paying for the udhiyah, not the family members of the mudahi. So the one who's paying for the udhiyah, why? Because our Prophet ﷺ did not tell his women and the children in the household, he did not tell them anything what to do. He said, whoever is going to do the udhiyah, let that person. So the one who's paying for the udhiyah, that's the ruling for 10 days, try your best. Why? So that you get to the spirit of the hujjaj. That's all that it is. You feel like you are participating in the hajj. This is not for the hajji himself. The hajji himself, if he's doing tamattu' between the umrah and tawaf, they will trim and whatnot, no problem. The hajji himself is a different ruling. But the one not doing hajj, that is that. Okay.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنها في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال.